Well, amen. You may be seated. All right, I'm only going to say three things to you in regards to this. Christmas lights, roof, and I'm no longer in my 20s, okay? So today is a little different on a number of fronts. Today was supposed to be a very special day in regards to Mark Harden's first day here leading us in worship, but he has flu-like symptoms, and there's been a number of choir members who have tested positive with COVID, so we've canceled the choir, and we know that COVID's kind of spiking in our area, and so things look different this morning. And as you tune in at home, but we are still grateful of the truth that our Lord and Savior is on His throne. He rules and He reigns, okay? And so before we get started, let's enter into a time of prayer, and let's pray for not only specific members of our church, our community, the nation as a whole, as we continue to go through these really difficult times. So let's pray, guys. Lord Jesus, we come to You because You are the only one that we can come to. You rule, You reign, You are on Your throne, and we trust that. And You have been given as head over the church. And we are so grateful to be able to meet this morning around Your word. Father, we lift up those within our congregation, those in our community, those all across our nation who have been infected with COVID, and as this spike continues, we pray for those who are on the front line. We pray for continued wisdom to be able to stop the spread. We pray for the vaccine and all the development there. We pray during these holiday season, as people are choosing to travel or not to travel, God, we have so much concern, so much that's going on in our world, and we come to You right now in the name of Jesus. You are our hope. You are our trust. We ask for Your wisdom. We ask for Your protection. We ask for healing. And even more than all of that, I ask that Your people would remember afresh, would be stirred up in faith that You are on Your throne, that You are in control. We love You, and we trust You, and we give this service over to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning is a special morning in regards that it is Missions Sunday, all right? And if you haven't been here before on Missions Sunday, we spend periodically throughout the year at least one Sunday where we really highlight and focus what missions means here at First Baptist Burney. I'll let you know that it's something that I'm incredibly proud of. That when I was interviewing with the church, one of the things that greatly excited me is how we do missions around here. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. You need to know that for every $100 that you give for your tithes and offerings, 13 of those are given to missions. That's an incredible number. We will give away more than $500,000 to missions this year as a church. Praise God for that. This is incredible news. The scripture passage I'm going to be preaching out of is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the title of the sermon is All Things to All Men. How as we're called, as Christians, we're all called to be missionaries. So if I ask the question, who here is called to be a missionary? Go ahead and raise your hand. If you're called to be a missionary, that's right, we're all called. It may not be vocationally, and it may be in your work area, in your current context, but all of us are called to be missionaries. And so let's listen as we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul discussing what he does to lay down his rights in order to meet all people. Verse 19 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I become as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker in it. That is rich. So that I may become a fellow partaker in it. Have you ever heard this before? We don't talk about politics or religion in polite company, right? It's rude. It always ends in arguments and anger. Well, the reason is that if you adopt a political system or a religious view, inevitably it always comes with a set of laws, rules and restrictions that have to be put upon another person. So, for example, if you come across someone who's passionate about the environment, right? Well, inevitably, the conversation might get around to whether the use of plastic straws or individual plastic water bottles will be put on another person to scorn and shame. Ask a Muslim how one finds peace with God. And quickly, he will list the five pillars of Islam and explain how praying towards Mecca five times a day, or fasting during Ramadan, or the necessity of taking a holy pilgrimage, all those things must be done in order to be at peace with God. Well, as the Apostle Paul moved throughout the Roman Empire, okay, on his missionary journeys, can you just imagine the vast number of peoples and culture that he came across and encountered? Right? Jews under the Mosaic law, a pantheon of Greek gods, each city with their own different emphasis. If you recall in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was in Ephesus, he had stirred up a mob that got furious at him. They were furious and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis of Ephesus," because he had thought that the goddess there was being put down. So contemplate, as he traveled, all the different yokes put upon him by the laws of men, by the laws of the gods. See, this is what Tim Keller means whenever he says that all other religions of the world, all other systems can be categorized as advice. This is what's important. Okay, this is what you must do in order to be made right with God, to be at peace. Follow these guidelines, and you must do it as closely as you can. Horrifically, you see, the weight, the burden is heavily upon you. As you try, as hard as you can, the duration of your entire life, because then when you finally stand before a holy God, maybe, just maybe, he will look at all of your efforts and say, "Okay, I guess that was good enough." Before conversion, Martin Luther, as a monk, used to spend hours upon hours in confession to his fellow priests, only to finish, make it halfway back to his room and remember some sins that he had not confessed and go back and start all the way over again. You see, this is advice. Follow this system. You see, but of course, our conscience holds us guilty of the fact that we truly can never follow all the rules. Never quite good enough. Basically, all we can do is look better than another man, push them down and go, "Well, I hope I'm getting in because I'm better than them." Now, in contrast to advice, the gospel is news. Not advice, something you must do. Rather, news, hearing about that which is already done. That God sent his one and only Son, who lived his entire life to perfection. Unlike what you and I sin, he was absolutely perfect. He lived his entire life to perfection. And then, according to God's own plan, was crucified and killed for our sins so that you by faith could hear the good news and could receive all of his righteousness credited to your account. Good news. That which has already been done on your behalf. That which you could not do to stand before a holy and righteous God, God did in his Son for you. Not advice, follow these rules and make yourself right, but rather good news, a free gift. Have you ever tasted freedom? Freedom from the burden of the yoke of other men, or even the burden from your own sin. Have you ever tasted freedom? Inevitably, by asking that question, I immediately go in my mind's eye to a particular point and spot in my own life when, truth be told, guys, I sinned further than I ever thought I would sin. And I was so filled with shame. I was so filled with guilt, the weight of it. I honestly kept asking God, when was he going to smite me and pour out his wrath? For days, I lived in fear of that, thinking through biblical examples about how Uzzah just touched the ark and he was struck dead. God, are you going to strike me dead? Only to enter into my quiet time, enter into my prayer closet, ask the Lord, when are you going to pour out your wrath upon me? To have him reply, if I were to pour out my wrath upon you, it means Jesus didn't pay for it all on the cross. Can I tell you the freedom that existed in that moment? To realize when I was worse than I ever imagined, his grace was greater still. The freedom to stand there in the good news and to know I have peace with God. I have been forgiven. I am free. You see, this is where Paul begins his passage. He says, I am free from all men. You need to understand here at First Baptist Boerne, everything that we do, missions, flows out of the gospel, out of the good news. Our missions is an overflow. It is a want to. It is a get to. It is we can't help but. We don't do missions to be right with God. We do missions because we are right with God through Jesus Christ. It is all an overflow. So everything else I say, you understand, we do this freely. We do this because we get to, because we want to. But back to verse 19, Paul says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. You see, in the gospel, Paul is free. Justified before a holy God, certainly free from the burdens and laws of other men. Paul is fundamentally free, but here he says he leaves that position of freedom and purposely makes himself a slave of all men. Think about that. Verse 20, to the Jews I become as a Jew, back under the law. Although I'm not under the law. You see, why would Paul re-enter voluntarily leave his position of freedom and enter back into under the weight of rules and regulations that he knows no longer applies to him, so that he might win the Jews. You see, we know that Paul moved freely through the Roman Empire, engaging with both Jews and Gentiles. But the Jews didn't associate with Gentiles, and particularly around the dinner table. So when Paul would enter a new city and he would enter into the synagogue and he would begin to try and win them, to try and preach the gospel to them, and he falls back under the kosher laws. And I have it by pretty good authority that Paul loved bacon. You know how I know that? Because everyone loves bacon. But he falls under the dietary laws for the Jews. Later, Paul shaves his head, not to look like me. He was actually underneath a Nazirite vow, in order to say to his fellow Jewish Christians that he didn't hate the Mosaic law. That's in Acts chapter 21. He even had Timothy circumcised so that they would be more effective as they moved into Jewish circles. You see, it was well known that Timothy had a Greek father, and it was well known, that he wasn't circumcised. And so he takes Timothy and he has him circumcised. Why? In order to become like the Jews, in order to enter into those areas. Then why did Paul refuse for Titus to be circumcised in Galatians 2? Well, because that context indicates that they would have compromised the gospel by making circumcision necessary for faith. And so Paul wouldn't do it. He said, I refuse to have Titus circumcised. You see, the message of the gospel must never be compromised, but the messenger himself, Paul, showed great flexibility. Meat sacrificed to idols? Well, an idol is nothing. You can eat that meat. But if me eating meat sacrificed to idols causes one who is young in the faith, weak in the faith, just came out of paganism, if that causes them to stumble or be confused, then I will never eat meat again. I have become all things to all men that I might win some. Here at First Baptist Bernie, we will proactively reach people where they are. We will go out to them. We will get to know them, build personal relationships, lay down our rights, become flexible as messengers, so that they might become as free in Christ as we are. Just a couple years ago, the Girlings were in our growth groups, teaching, leading a class. And now I want you to see where God has taken them.
Hi, we're John and Catherine Geerling, serving with Africa Inland Mission in Northern Kenya.
Nearly 8 months ago, we took off for Kenya as new missionaries, having no idea that year 2020 would be so strange. We went through our training and finally made it out to our new home just as Kenya confirmed their first case of COVID-19. And so the craziness began. But God is so good. Our good shepherd knows each of us and is here with us. We serve the Rendili people. They are a nomadic people group who call the wilderness home. They are a strong people with a great sense of humor. Life here is hard. Many young shepherds follow their herds and live a very isolated life. Women fetch water from boreholes many kilometers away and have to gather wood for cooking, which is very scarce. Traditional Rendili believe in the God of Abraham, and they try to atone for their sins with cleansing rituals like animal sacrifices. They fiercely hold on to these beliefs, but Jesus is moving among the Rendili. We have loved getting to know our neighbors and learning about the Rendili way of life. Learning the Rendili language has not been easy, but we know that it is crucial to our ministry as we love these people. Our roles here are to learn the language, assist the local church with their building and outreach projects, and to disciple believers in ministry skills so they are able to train others. Our hope is to see mature Rendili believers who live a lifestyle of discipleship and a multiplying church. But sometimes our daily life might make it look like we are all over the place, because we are. I might be homeschooling but need to drop everything to take a friend to the dispensary. John might be working on a project but has to set that aside to repair a tap so that a village can have their weekly access to water. The days are long, the needs are many, but God's grace is always more.
Let's not go weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not give up.
Please continue to pray for us, to learn the language, to give ourselves grace, and to continue to love the Rendille people.
To the Rendille, I become Rendille. Isn't that incredibly powerful, impactful, that they might be free in Christ as we are? On the screen, you will see a list of our local mission partners. And I want to highlight just a few of them quickly to show you how we intentionally meet people where they are. Taking It to the Streets is a ministry to the homeless population in downtown San Antonio. Each week, volunteers help prepare and serve a meal to the homeless in downtown San Antonio so that they can build relationships, pray over people, and share the gospel. Meeting them where they are. Grace House is a faith-based transition house for women coming out of incarceration. Last year, we baptized 10 of those women right here in this church. Meeting them where they are. Vault ministers to foster families. Young Life meets students in the schools. Meadowlands is a care center for children and youth who've been displaced from their families for all the wrong reasons. And we have a group that goes weekly to lead Bible studies and build relationships and share the gospel. Meeting them where they are. You see, a lifeguard doesn't stand along the shore and invite those who are drowning to figure out a way to get themselves safely to come over here. I'm free. No, he dives in and meets them in their deepest need. You see, I've highlighted just a few, but I want you to know that we have a relationship with each of these mission partners. We believe that they are strategically meeting people where they are in order to present the gospel. I encourage you to go through this missions catalog that we've produced. If you're at home, it's downloadable online. Go through this missions partner. One, I want you to see who we are as a church. That the gospel always reaches out. The onus is on us who have the gospel. We must reach out. And here's the deal. We will never stop. This is what we will do all the way until King Jesus comes. Two, I want you to see where your generosity goes. I want you to be proud of the fact that you are in a church where 13% of our annual budget goes to missions. Guys, that's a huge number. But not only that, we give above and beyond. Do you know last year, during the middle of COVID, you guys were so radically generous and faithful to give, even after we transitioned online and you had to text to give and all of those things, that we were able to give an extra $150,000 to our missions partners. When we reach to the far parts of the earth and we know how COVID's hitting us, how is it hitting them? We were able to hear incredible stories about our money showing up just at the right time in order to provide for those in Yucatan who are outside that needed some food, that God used us in an incredible, powerful way. We are in relationship with these mission partners. We get phone calls that say, hey, we have someone who's near and dear to us that really needs a hearing test. Oh, we'd be happy to pray for that or to pay for that. I want you to see where your generosity goes. And thirdly, I want you to be thinking about where you can serve. I want you to read through this, and I want you to think, who can you meet where they are with the gospel? Also, I want you to turn to pages 17 and 18 if you're here in person. If you're at home, we have that on the screen. The picture is also on the screen here. This is where our international mission partnerships are. Doesn't that look awesome, guys? That right here in little old Bernie, Texas, that we are reaching out across the globe with missions. And not only that, guys, I have a challenge that we are pushing towards, and that is that within a few years, that half of our church membership population will have been on a mission trip in the last 5 years. That it becomes so part of our culture around here, you just know that you are expected to go. And what that means is we're going to begin to provide even closer mission trips, closer venues, so that everyone can go. Guys, this is absolutely beautiful. It's a picture of we get to be the hands and feet as the gospel goes to the ends of the earth. Now, there's one other profound truth that Paul makes that I want us to look at. Look at verse 23 with me. Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Now, this is a development of Paul's argument, and it gets quite personal for him. So I need to explain it a little bit to you. Think back with me as Paul was on the Damascus Road. He is a terrorist. He is angry. He is persecuting the church. And suddenly, the resurrected Jesus Christ appears to him. Not in a vision, but in real space and time. Others could hear, even if they didn't comprehend. Paul went in an instant from persecutor of the church to saved. But he also, tied to that, got his calling to be a missionary and an evangelist right there. You see, for most pastors, myself included, the calling is quite separate from our salvation. Okay, I was saved at 15. I didn't get a call to be a pastor until I was in my early 20s. But for Paul, they're one and the same. So right there, in the very moment, he goes from persecutor of the church to saved to called missionary and evangelist. It's all together. And that's what he means in verse 16 above whenever he says he is under compulsion to preach the gospel. He is under compulsion. That's even stronger than the prophet Jeremiah whenever he says, there's a fire in my bones. If I don't speak, I have to speak. Paul says, I am under compulsion. What else can I do but go and preach the gospel? For him, there's no credit in doing that. He says he must. So then you ask the question, how can Paul worship Jesus? How can Paul show Jesus that he gives a free will offering? Out of the overflow of his heart, he just wants to preach this gospel. Well, what became his common practice overwhelmingly is that Paul would move in and into an area where he was trying to plant a church. He refused to accept any offerings from them. Although customarily it was the common of the day, if you were a traveling preacher, you had a vehicle to earn quite a bit of money. They were in demand. I mean, there's no TV and internet for entertainment. Traveling preachers made a lot of money. But Paul, as he would enter into a new area, he would refuse that they support him. He would allow them to support him after he left, because he wanted to offer the gospel freely. For him, it was about laying down his rights so that he may participate in the gospel. You see, that's how he viewed life, participating in the gospel. And you too are called to view all of life that way. I want you to watch this quick video about another ministry partner that we have in San Antonio called Moment of Truth.
I received a phone call from Pastor Jones, who had been the pastor at this church for over 50 years. He came and said, you know, I've seen what you guys are doing ministry-wise and what you're doing for the neighborhoods. So he said, I'd like to sign this church over to you guys. The day before we were supposed to show up to the review board at the city of San Antonio for our hearing, to have our building demoed, the church was put in the name of Moment of Truth Ministries. And then they said, who would speak on behalf of the owners? Well, since we were now the owners as of a day, I went before the board and they asked the question. They said, why should we not tear this building down? And all I could say was that, you know, we've spent the last 12 years, almost 13, taking people who are torn up and investing in them and rebuilding them to be what God wanted them to be. And so we believe if we're given a chance, we can restore that building as well. So they came back to the inspector, and she obviously had been touched during this conversation. And when they asked her, what do you recommend? It's time to recommend. She said, I recommend that in light of a new owner as of yesterday, that we give them 7 months to show substantial improvement to the building.
Before Bill run into Pastor Jones and they got the building, I had prayed about coming over to this area because this area is prevalently the worst area on the east side. Where people in the east side are running from the east side because of violence. But we're looking for the violence because wherever the violence is, that's where the enemy is, and God wants us to take the violence by force and tear the enemy's kingdom down. But I think what we want the people to experience is the power of love to help lives get restored, families get back redeemed, curses getting broke out of lives and families. Jesus wants his kingdom to come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We shouldn't have to wait to heaven to feel heaven.
Moment of Truth took a condemned building, restored it, turned it into a functioning church that's meeting right now at this time on the east side of San Antonio. Why? I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. When I implore you to give and to serve, to find your spot in ministry, how can you be the hands and feet of Christ? More than anything, I'm inviting you. Jesus is inviting you to partake in the gospel. I have this adorable ministry memory when Ian was 18 months old, walking in my bedroom, and he had put my boots on. And now my boots went all the way up to his diaper. And he had grabbed my keys. And we walked in and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to work." And he grabbed those keys and he walked all the way down the hall. And then he came back and said, "I'm home." Why? Because he wanted to be just like Daddy. Well, here's the deal. As believers, there is an impassioned, powerful moment when you realize you get to be like Jesus, the one who laid down his rights in order to serve and save others, calls us and tells us that we can partake in the gospel too. And when we do that, we make our Lord and Savior look amazing. Are you partaking in the gospel through giving, serving, sacrificially laying down your rights in order that others may be saved? Here at First Baptist Bernie, the gospel fuels everything we do. We do missions out of an overflow of a changed heart. We will not stay in a holy huddle. We will practically and be proactive about meeting people where they are so that we might save some. Because we are delighted to partake in the gospel. Church, I'm proud of who we are. And I want you to be proud of who we are and how we do missions. That we have 30 mission partners, 18 local and 12 international. And that we know each of them personally, and we are delighted to partner with them. God has incredible things in store for us. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the starting point as we continue to cultivate our passion for evangelism and missions. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, what an incredibly powerful word that we can partake in the gospel. And how Paul said, "I will do all things to all men. I will become all things so that I might win them." God, give us that heartbeat. Give us that sense of purpose and willingness and strength to sacrifice for the good of others, for the good of your kingdom. God, forgive us whenever we get so distracted by temporary things, by things that won't last. Father, help us to prioritize. Give us the boldness. Can we just confess to you right now, Father, how oftentimes we shy away because of the approval of men? Give us the boldness to, with a smile on our face, pray for someone. Introduce them to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the resources as a church. We are so, so blessed. Not only to have the gospel, but to have the resources to be able to go around the world. We are the ones who get to spend for the glory of your name. What a privilege. We don't take that lightly. We pause to say thank you. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Right now, we offer a heart of gratitude. We want to walk worthy of you. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.